Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, we did verse 1 and verse number 2 last week as we looked at the introduction to the book of Philippians. And I want to back up today, back into verse number 1, and talk to you about the title that Paul gives to himself and also to Timothy here, that of servant. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you today about being a servant. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. Father, we just thank you for how you use men like Paul in the scriptures to write to us, to give us your word, to help us. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to use this today for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Now, for an introduction here today, I want to share two headings with you. First, what is meant by servant? And then second, why was Timothy included? And really, you can take the what is meant by servant, and that's a sermon in itself. And you've no doubt heard some very good sermons. There's some popular sermons by some popular preachers about what a bond servant was and what that meant. And some of you know an illustration about that. It has to do with an earring type thing. And wouldn't call it an earring in the Bible, but we would call it that. Don't. Some of you, that's offensive to you. I don't mean to be, all right? I'm not going to come in with an earring in here one Sunday morning, all right? Don't worry. But there's a really good illustration about that, what it means. And I don't really want to get into all that today because there's another point that I wish to make. But I do, by way of introduction, want to talk to you about a little bit about what is meant by servant. What was Paul saying here? What did the readers, original readers in Philippi, understand him to mean when he said, this letter is coming to you from Paul and Timothy, the servants of Christ? And obviously, I don't know exactly what they understood him to mean because I'm not them. But I want to share with you some meanings of this word and then move over into why he included Timothy before we get into the sermon today. What is meant by servant? The Greek word Paul originally wrote here is doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. That's the word that we've translated into English as slave and servant and bond servant. Those are the three main words used for that. There's some others, but that's the word that we get our words from in the Bible. It comes from doulos. You and I get the general idea here when he says servant, we get the general idea and we further understand that it falls under the definition of a slave. Just right on the surface, he's just saying, this letter's coming to you from Paul and Timothy, the slaves of Jesus Christ. And really, Paul, where did we say that Paul is as he's writing this? In prison in Rome, really, he can say that, can't he? I mean, he's locked up. And so we get that right off the surface. We are God's servants, thus we are slaves to God's will and the work of Christ in redemption. And I'm comfortable in that fact. I'm comfortable that I've been bought with a price and I am no longer my own because I owed a great debt that I could not pay. So I have no problem with that. But it's interesting as we study this to get into what the further meaning there is. An author named Gordon Fee, I really like a lot of the stuff that he says. He writes about this here, and he says, the hearers then would have instinctively understood the word, talking about doulos, servant, the word to refer to those owned by and subservient to the master of a household. Now, I'll make a sidebar here to say to you, we're not talking England-originated and American-run slavery that we and I have in our history. We're talking years and years before this, thousands of years before this. So the servanthood we are referring to, that Paul would have been referring to here, a little different. And while it's slavery, no doubt, it's not looked at in the same light as that. Okay, I don't want you to think that I'm using something that is such a scar on people's emotions and trying to make it something good through scriptures. It's not that at all. What we know about slavery was never even thought of when this was written and when this was penned. So don't misunderstand what's in the Bible. A lot of people try to make the Bible out to be a mean book because slavery is in here, but it's not the slavery you and I know. In fact, the slave trade was ended in England by men like William Wilberforce, John Newton. You heard of John Newton? How do you know John Newton? Amazing Grace, he wrote that. You know what he did before he was sweeping the floors of a church and writing Amazing Grace? He was a captain of a slave boat. But when they got the Word of God in their hearts, they stop what they were doing and begin to change in their culture what they were doing. So don't ever misunderstand the Bible as promoting something that we see is so wrong in our culture today. It's not it at all. That's not where I'm going with this morning. So back yourself up in history to understand what Paul, who he's referring to here, are not people who were unwillingly drug away from their homes and forced into something. Okay. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. Don't give away my stuff here, Brother Sam. No, that's all right. So Fee says here that the hearers would have understood the word to refer to those owned by and subservient to the master of a household. He continues, this word, doulos, was also used to translate the term servant of Yahweh. We know servant of Yahweh means what? Servant of the Lord. The Lord. So Yahweh is the Lord. The slave of the Lord thus carried a sense of distance from, but also a dependence on God, while at the same time being a kind of honorific title for those in special service to God. Now that's better than slave, isn't it? But Paul says, I'm a slave of God, as his way of saying, I'm in special service to God. Brings on a little bit different of meaning there. As a child, I would read Paul's writings. They would teach them to us in Sunday school, and I'd hear the preachers preach about them. Paul would introduce himself as servant or slave. What's another kind of derogatory term he would give himself? Anybody know? Prisoner. He'd call himself prisoner. And then I would hear adults say, I want to be just like Paul. And I remember telling the Sunday school teacher one time, she asked us who in the Bible, which of Jesus' followers we wanted to be like, or we thought we were the most like. And I said, Peter. I didn't know everything about Peter at that time. Come to find out, I'm more like Peter than probably I knew it as a child. But I just didn't want to be like Paul. I thought, I don't want to grow up and have to be a servant or have to be a prisoner to be Christ-like or to be like... I just didn't want that. Well, I didn't understand what that meant. Now that I'm aware of what Paul's saying here, I said, sign me up. This is what I want. This is who I hope to be. The slave of the Lord here, the servant of the Lord, carries a distance from and a dependence on God. It says, I'm in special service to God. Most agree, and we can understand here, that in writing and using this term doulos for the sake of giving the reader a double understanding of the position Paul felt himself to be in. First, he's saying, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm bound to Him. He is my slave, or I am His slave, and He is my master. Second, he's saying, I'm a servant of the Lord whose bond is expressed in loving service on behalf of Christ. Paul's use of servant then and now places us in a position of what would be seen or called as free bond slaves. Is that an oxymoron? Kind of like Microsoft Works, right? Well, there's some more, but I'll leave them alone. I like oxymorons. Let me give you one more. If you work for the government, don't get mad at me. I'm from the government. I'm here to help, right? Is that a good one? Okay, all right. I couldn't help myself. I apologize. I really do. I owe some of you lunch now, don't I? We are free bond slaves. We are free in Christ Jesus, but choose to use that freedom to perform the duties of a slave in the service of God and His people. It's a full term, isn't it? Doulos. A lot said in just one little word. What great company it allows us to be included in here. Similar use is not only given to Paul, but that this term is also used in the Old Testament. A similar term would be used when referring to guys like Moses and Joshua and even David. Here we read that Paul includes Timothy. Brings us to our second heading that I want to share with you. Not only what does servant mean, but why did he include Timothy? For one, we said last week this is a friendly letter. Paul didn't write this in a business manner. If he would write this in a business manner, he would say, Paul, an apostle, I'm writing to you as a leader in the church, and you need to listen to what I've got to say. There's some people in the Bible he wrote that way too, isn't it? And they needed to listen to what he had to say. And sometimes we need to read it that way and listen to what he has to say because it's very helpful to how we live our lives. But the book, the writing to the Philippians is one of encouragement. It was written in a friendly manner. Paul and his dear friend Timothy are communicating with friends across the miles. Being friendly, Paul didn't use his official title, apostle. Now, this is one of six letters that Paul wrote that included Timothy. All right, this is not the only one that does include Timothy. And while Timothy was mentioned in the other letters, Timothy's name would always be, in those letters, separated from Paul's. Paul and the other letters would be introduced as Paul the Apostle. Timothy was not an apostle, so it couldn't be Paul and Timothy apostles, as it is Paul and Timothy servants. So in those letters, in those writings, six other letters, or there are five other letters, Timothy is separated from Paul. This time, not as apostle, as servant, Timothy as included with Paul. Paul's not using apostle here allows for Timothy to be included. What does this do for Timothy? This gives Timothy the place of fellow bondservant with Paul. Now, knowing what bondservant means, knowing, understanding doulos as we do now, isn't that a wonderful place for Timothy to be thrown into as Paul and Timothy? Not just Paul and apostle, and here's all the things I've got to say, and, oh yeah, Timothy's with me and he helped me with this. This is usually how Timothy was thrown in there. No. This is very special for Timothy to be up for Paul to say, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful association. There's probably some associations in life you wish you didn't have. And then there's some associations in life you're proud that you do have. Right? Is that how life goes? I'm that way. Maybe I'm the only one who's that judgmental among us here today. If you were to pass me, and let's pick on White Bluff this morning. And what's the name of that car the police use over there? Prius. One of those Prius was sitting behind me with the lights flashing, and I saw you guys start coming by as church let out, and you were on your way over to the park to have lunch. I would kind of cover my eyes. I would not like the association of me being stopped by a police officer. I really wouldn't like it if you came by and I had my hands on the hood of my car and he had me bent over like this. You know, I mean, I just wouldn't like that association. But if you come by and you saw me stand on the front steps of the church, I'd grin real big and I'd wave and I'd say, I like this association. I'm in church and you're driving by and you're not. You missed the day. And see, there's some associations we like. There's some that we don't. While Timothy might have liked to have been included as Paul and Timothy apostles, he could not. This is a wonderful association for Timothy to be able to be said, Paul and Timothy, doulos, servants of Christ, free bond servants. We live our lives under bond, expressing our love for Christ, laboring on His behalf. So two other letters mention Timothy's, or two other letters use the term doulos as under Paul's writing here. Romans and Titus. Timothy's name being used here. Three times Paul uses this. One time he puts Timothy in. That just makes it that much more rare. And we know about things that are rare, that makes them that much more special, right? And usually expensive. We're not talking of money here. Given our definition of servant, though, it's really something for Timothy to be given this designation. But you know what it does more than for us just to celebrate Timothy here? It gives us the idea that it opens the door for others to be included. You see, as Paul writes, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, I can live my life knowing I'm probably never going to be locked up for the sake of Jesus. If I do, it'll be some fundraiser where y'all get me locked up and people give money to get me out. Y'all seen this kind of thing? You know, I'm probably never going to be put in jail for the things I say from the pulpit or the things I share with you all or for toting a Bible. We live in a free world where that's not likely to happen in my lifetime. I can't be an apostle. But as Timothy was included here as a fellow bondservant with Christ, it makes me become aware of the fact that the life that I now live, I live by the grace of God in Christ. I can also be included, and you can also be included as a free bondservant of Christ, because that's exactly what we are as we get in Christ at conversion. I guess the best way to say what I mean to say here this morning is to use the old phrase. I can't remember if this is song lyrics or something I heard from a sermon, but you've probably all heard this before. You ever heard, the ground is level at the foot of the cross? Right. What is that, a song? Is that a song? Look to the song men here. None of them are nodding, so maybe it's not. But I love that thought. In Christ, there are no pedestals, no places. We're all on the same level. We're on the same plane. In fact, the Bible speaks of, in God's eyes, in Christ, we're right there with Christ, joint heirs together. It's a wonderful thought. So I love the fact that Timothy is included here. All right, so we understand the meaning and the use of servant. So I want to dig into what's here for us before we go today. So let me give you the sermon that I have for you. First is becoming a servant. We can never become a servant of Christ until we realize by nature we're the servants of sin. You understand that, right? You had to be aware that you were a sinner and needed forgiveness before you ever got aware of the fact that, well, I need forgiveness. I need to be saved. I need Jesus. Historically, there were three ways to become a slave. The first way was by war, right? You can think that in your head. If a nation conquered your nation, you were most likely to become a servant to the nation who conquered you. The second way was by birth. If you were born to parents who were servants, you too would automatically become servants in the same house where your parents were servants. We see that work out in our day and age, even not with being a servant, but you know, a lot of times doctors' kids are doctors, preachers' kids are in the ministry, something. You know, that's how things go. Not always, but we see that happen. But this was definitely the truth with being a slave or a servant. The third way to become a slave was by debt. If your family couldn't pay their debt, a child would be sold into slavery in exchange for that, or a person in the family would be. So there's three ways that you could become a servant. Similarly, you and I have become slaves to sin. The Bible teaches that from Adam, we are born in sin. That's step one. That's what we need to all be aware of. The human nature in us is to say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't even know this Adam. And what he did has nothing to do with me. And that's how I want to be. I'm not telling you that because I've observed it in your life. I'm telling you that because that's how I feel. I'm thinking, why do I got to be guilty for something Adam did? I'll tell you, I struggle with this. My weight, I struggle with my eating, and I want to do right, and I want to be healthy. I want to live a long time. I want to fit in my clothes. And I'll think, man, Adam, maybe if you hadn't indulged yourself in the garden, maybe I wouldn't have to indulge myself now. I wouldn't have this desire inside of me. I don't blame him for it. But it becomes aware to me through that, as much as I want to be separated from Adam, I'm a lot like him. We understand that we are born in sin. We become slaves to sin simply because we're born from Adam. The Bible also teaches that sin rules over us so that we cannot do the things that we would. You read that verse, right? The things that I would do, I don't. The things that I would not do, those are the things that I find myself doing time and time again. Finally, we're sinners by debt. What are the wages of sin? We owe a great debt. Boyce writes of it this way. He says, Paul knew he had been a slave to sin in each of these ways, and every person must realize the same thing in some form before he can taste God's deliverance. You know, it's like us saying we know a person must be sick before they will consult a doctor. You're like me, you don't always have to be full-on sick, other than I'm really cheap, so I don't go to the doctor. But I want to a lot. I get on WebMD a lot. I may not be anything wrong with me, but I'll think, I don't know, I think I got a symptom of something. Or watch a special on TV and decide, oh, I got those symptoms too. I might have that too. Anybody else do that? Am I the only one who self-diagnoses? The doctors hate seeing me coming. Usually by the time they get me in the room, all they got to do is say, okay, well, what prescription do you need? You know, you evidently know what's wrong with you. We have to realize we're sick before we'll consult a doctor. A person must know that they're lost before they try to get found. It'd be silly for somebody walking around on a nature hike somewhere who knew right where they were and right where they're going to just all of a sudden decide, I need help. I need someone to get me out of this. Don't be goofy. But you wander around long enough and it begins to get dark and you begin to get cold and you realize, I don't know where I am and I don't know how to get to where I need to be. Then you become frantic and panic and go cry out for help. You want someone to come and lead you on the right path. Similarly, in the same way, a person must know that he is enslaved spiritually before he will turn to the one who alone can set him free. So becoming a servant and then becoming free, just as there are ways historically of becoming a servant, there are also ways of becoming free. A person could earn their freedom. A person could buy their freedom. Or it could be given to them by someone able to pay the price of their redemption. In spiritual terms, we understand there's only one way of deliverance. We must be bought by the only one who can pay sin's price. You see, you and I can never buy salvation. The richest man on this earth can never buy salvation because our currency does not work in heaven. While man can do much good, our good is worthless in the sight of God. Thus, we can never earn our salvation. In becoming free, you and I can do nothing to merit God's grace. But thankfully, what we can't earn or buy, God gives. And God gives freely. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that a wonderful verse? Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Becoming a servant. Becoming free. And I'd finish like this today. Understanding that relationship. In Christ, we can become free from the chains or the bondage or the slavery of sin. And further in Christ, we can become a free bond servant. What was a free bond servant? It was a servant of the Lord whose bond is expressed in loving service on behalf of Christ. In Christ, we can become a free bond servant. But some see this simply as a move from one master over here to another master over there. Say, "I don't want that. I don't like that. I just went from being a slave to this to a slave to that, and that's just not a good deal." But that's not the case at all. We have been made servants of sin, and now we are servants of Christ. But the second is not at all like the first, is it? You remember when you were a servant to sin, how degrading it was? But as a servant in Christ, it's edifying. It's completely opposite. Being a servant of Christ, doulos, is a bondage of love and gratitude, a relationship that we could compare quite closely to marriage. Being married, we understand that one is no longer independent. Amen, men? No longer independent. Even those of you who wouldn't say amen right there, you gave me the eyes. I knew you were agreeing with me right there. Brother, if my wife wasn't in here, I would have shouted right there. I am no longer independent. She even goes on the bass boat with me. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're not free to do anything you want. Specifically, to marry someone else, to leave, or to abandon your spouse. Amen, ladies. But you are free in marriage. You're free to serve. You're free to give. You're free to love your family. This is the servant relationship we have with the Lord. He is the Lord. We are the bride. He is the master. We are the servants. This will never be slavery. It's a way of joy and peace and satisfaction. You know, whether we like it or not, we're all servants in one realm or another. You're servants to something or somebody or some way. I ask you, on the two that we've dealt with here this morning, are you the slave to sin or have you become the free bondservant of Christ? If you're here today and you're the slave to sin, you can become free. And Christian, you need to be aware of the fact that you've been made free, that you've been made free to serve. Could you, like Timothy, be included? If you were with Paul in Rome, he was writing to the Philippians, could he say, "Paul and Chance, servants of Christ," and fill your name in the blank there? Are you a servant of the Lord whose bond is expressed in loving service on behalf of Christ? Let's stand for prayer. Ms. Wiggins is going to come and play for us today. And as you pray, this is what I want to let your prayer to become today is, "Lord, help me to become like Paul and Timothy, a servant."